Maryland Family Program Rules, Part 2, Claims and Paid Leave Benefits. On March 30, 2026, the Maryland Department of Labor, MDOL, published its final regulations implementing the state's long-awaited Family and Medical Leave Insurance, Family Program, and Part 2 of this three-part series summarizes the regulations covering the claims process and paid leave benefits. Quick hits. Starting no later than January 3, 2028, the Family Program will provide most Maryland employees with up to 12 weeks of paid leave for certain family and medical reasons, with a possible additional 12 weeks of leave for parental bonding per application year. The program is funded through employer and employee payroll contributions, which will commence on January 1, 2027, and be administered by the MDOL's Family Division. The final regulations address, among other things, the claims process and paid leave benefits. Background on the law and final regulations. As discussed in further detail in Part 1 of this series, Maryland enacted the Family Program in 2022 to provide most employees with up to 12 weeks of paid family and medical leave, plus up to 12 additional weeks for parental leave within a 12-month period. After several legislatively mandated delays, employer and employee contributions are set to begin on January 1, 2027, with benefits commencing no later than January 3, 2028. The MDOL's final regulations, effective March 30, 2026, are organized into five chapters: General Provisions, Contributions, Equivalent Private Insurance Plans, EPIPs, Claims and Dispute Resolution, and largely preserve the proposed regulatory framework with certain refinements. The final regulations can be found in Title 9, Subtitle 42 of the Code of Maryland Regulations, COMAR 09.42.01, SORT 45. Key provisions of the regulations related to the claims process and paid leave benefits are summarized below. Part 1 of this series addressed important definitions, the creation of online employer accounts, and mandatory notices. Part 3 covers EPIPs and dispute resolution, applications, supporting documentation, and claim updates. Eligible employees may file an application for benefits within 60 days before the anticipated start date of leave and no later than 60 days after the start date. The 60-day filing deadline may be waived for good cause up to 1 year from the commencement of leave. The final regulations detail the required documentation for each type of qualifying event, including certifications from licensed healthcare providers for medical conditions, proof of relationship for bonding and caregiving, and confirmation of active duty service for qualifying exigencies. A claimant applying for uniformed services, caregiving leave, must also provide documentation from the United States government establishing the service member's status. The Family Division may require claimants to attest that the information in their applications is true and that there are no disqualifying criteria. Employers have 5 business days to respond to notice of an employee's submitted claim application. If no employer response is received within that period, the claim application is deemed to be complete. If the employer challenges eligibility, the division or EPIP will investigate, after which the claim is treated as complete. The division may also request supplemental data from the employer. If benefits are approved and issued, and an employer subsequently provides disqualifying information after the 5-day window, the recipient retains benefits already received, but continuation of benefits will cease, and job and anti-retaliation protections apply only for the period from approval to revocation. Employees must update material information within 10 days or as soon as practicable with good cause, including changes to the basis, start date, duration, or end date of leave, or whether the claimant has begun to receive workers' compensation or unemployment insurance benefits. Failure to update may result in delay, underpayment, overpayment, or denial of benefits. Claims may also be withdrawn. If leave has already begun, only the actual leave taken will count against the employee's family balance for the application year. Duration and timing of leave: employees may receive up to 12 weeks of family benefits and leave per employer per application year, with a potential additional 12 weeks where a claimant's initial period of their own medical leave is followed by bonding leave or vice versa within the same year. Bonding leave must be taken within 12 months of the birth or placement of a child. Leave may also be used in anticipation of the placement of a child for the purposes of attending court appearances, legal and placement agency appointments, counseling and medical appointments, and travel, provided they are substantiated by required documentation. A licensed healthcare provider must document the time period required for the serious health condition of the employee, their family member, or a service member. If the family member for whom the employee is caring dies, benefits continue until 7 days after the death or the previously approved end date, whichever is sooner, and the covered individual must provide notice of the death to the state within 72 hours. In essence, the final regulations provide for a form of bereavement leave that was not explicitly contemplated in the family statute. Leave may be taken on a continuous or intermittent basis. Claimants approved for intermittent leave must submit benefit requests within 5 business days of leave being taken unless good cause can be shown. Intermittent leave may not be taken in increments of fewer than 4 hours unless the claimant's scheduled shift is shorter. Benefits will not be issued for requests that significantly exceed the expected duration and frequency listed on the medical certification without an updated certification. Approved intermittent leave applications expire after 1 year, and a new claim application is required if the employee continues to need leave for the qualifying event. Benefit calculations: continuous and intermittent leave. The final regulations establish a 2-tier wage replacement formula for continuous leave. If the claimant's average weekly wage is 65% or less of the state average weekly wage, benefits equal 90% of the claimant's average weekly wage. For claimants earning above that threshold, benefits are the sum of 90% of the claimant's average weekly wage up to 65% of the state average weekly wage and 50% of the amount above that threshold, up to the maximum weekly benefit amount. For intermittent leave, 1 week of benefits equals the number of hours worked during the highest earning quarter of the previous 4 completed calendar quarters divided by 13. The hourly benefit rate is calculated by dividing the weekly benefit amount by those average hours, and benefits are paid for actual hours of intermittent leave taken. The benefit amount for intermittent leave is calculated using the state average weekly wage and maximum weekly benefit amount in effect on the anchor date. On or before January 1 of each year, every open and active intermittent leave claim will be readjusted based on the new maximum weekly benefit amount. Coordination with other benefits. The final regulations allow for the reduction of family eligibility by an employee's Federal Family and Medical Leave Act, FMLA, use. If the FMLA leave also qualified for family, the employer notified the employee of their potential family eligibility, and the employee did not apply. For alternative family purpose leave or AFPL, i.e., employer provided leave specifically designated as a separate bank of time off for medical leave, family leave, qualified exigency leave, or under a disability policy that is not leave provided under an EPIP, an employer may require concurrent use if the leave meets all of the following criteria. It is specifically designed to fulfill a family purpose. It is paid, it is not accrued, it is not subject to repayment, it is not available for general purposes, and it is available without a requirement to exhaust another form of leave. the employer must provide advance written notice of this requirement. Similar to FMLA, if the employee is notified of required concurrent use and fails to apply for family, the employee's family's eligibility is reduced by the amount of APFL taken. When both family and AFPL are used concurrently, family is primary and AFPL may supplement up to 100% of the employee's average weekly wage. The employer may deduct the full amount of time taken from the recipient's AFPL balance, even if the recipient received only partial wage replacement. Importantly, an employee's decision to use AFPL concurrently does not negate job protection or anti-retaliation provisions. General purpose paid leave, i.e.,